Let's continue in our preaching today, and we are going to continue in the book of Ephesians, as we have been going through scripture by scripture on the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians chapter 5, as we are going to continue, and we are going to see God's order for the family today. And this is a continuation of last time. Alright? And so, God's order for the family, and we are going to see how God comes in His order of order and submission, how God comes to the home. And in this home, we are going to see, we are going to talk about the wives. Alright? So, it's I know many of you are not wives, but some of you are. So you might ask me, how is that going to be profitable to me? Well, if you are not a wife, if you are, let's see, if you are an unmarried, if you are a husband, then you will get your chance to hear next week. And so, if you are not a husband, not a wife, if you are a single man, well, this will be wonderful for you to hear, because you will see what type of a woman you need to marry. Alright? A godly woman. Because if you marry an ungodly woman, you will see the consequences. What's going to happen? So it's so important. And if you are not a single man, if you are a lady who has been married before, or, you know, or you are an older person, still it's going to be profitable for you, because you can teach the younger women of these scriptures, teach the older women are to teach the younger, so they will be edified. So they will, so every, it doesn't matter, God's word is going to come and it's going to profit everybody. Alright? So remember, last week we saw God's order, and I gave many, many examples of God's order. Remember? Grocery store, everything is orderly prepared, you know. Wherever you go, everything is in order. Even your home, everything is in order. And also we saw, with order comes submission. Even in a store, there's a manager, you know. There are people who clean the floors and people who put the stuff on the shelves. So, in a hotel, you get the receptionist, the housekeeping, the cooks, the waiter. So there are people who have different ranks, and there are submissions. You got to submit to one another. Alright? In the same way, when it comes to the home, there is submission. If in the world we see this submission, how much more in the home? Because God ordained submission. So if you read Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 22 to 24, it says here, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of wives, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be wives be to their own husbands in everything. Never says in scripture, girlfriends submit to your boyfriends. Nothing like that. Talking to wives here. Submission to the husbands. Now, for us to see this, so we are going to see marriage here. Marriage is a wonderful thing. It's been blessed by God. But for us to see the marriage here, we need to go back to Genesis to see the first wedding. The first wedding. So Genesis, if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, starting from verse 18. Now, before we do that, okay, you can hold on to Genesis chapter 2. But remember when God created the world. When God created the world, when He created, He saw, first he created the dry land and the earth, and he gathered the waters and called the seas. And God saw that, and God said it was good. Then God, of course, we see how God divided light from darkness. And God saw that, and it was good. And here we see, and also God created the birds according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And so God saw, He made the beasts, the cattle, and every kind that creeps on the earth, and God saw that it was good. So everything that God created was good. But there's one thing that says in the Bible, it was not good. It was not good. Do you know what it is? If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, we'll read. Genesis 2 verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good for that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And here so verse 19 says, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call him. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And here we see, before creating a woman, Adam had only the animals. Of course, Adam named them, Adam loved them, Adam had, probably had a good time with the animals. But yet, there was a loneliness in him. There was something missing in him. And God saw this and said, it is not good for that man should be alone. And here, then we see in verse 21. 21 says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up in the flesh in its first place. Here we see the first surgery. The first surgery is performed by God in the Bible. And the first surgery was done where man was created out of dust. Now God, what does He do? He takes a rib out of Adam. Verse 22, then the rib of which the Lord had taken from man, He made it into a woman. He brought her to the man. Oh, what a wonderful, amazing thing what God has done here. Remember, man was created out of what? Out of dust. Not the woman. But the woman is created out of what? Out of man. Out of a rib from the side. And here, see, an amazing creation of God where He took a rib from the man. He put the man into a deep sleep and took a rib, one rib, and God put flesh into that rib. And covered with flesh and made a beautiful creation out of that one ring. And it's called a woman. And it's amazing. Then, when God brought the woman to man, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. The word woman here is female of the man, because she was taken out of man. Therefore man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. They shall become one flesh. When you say they shall become one flesh, that one means to become one. It means to take two separate things and put super glue, alright, and glued together, you cannot separate. They become one. That's exactly the Hebrew word that talks about. That it's like super glue. You cannot separate. What God has joined together, let no man separate. Unless there is adultery, then it is permitted for divorce, but it's not a commandment. So here, they become one flesh, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now, it's amazing how it was the marriage has to do with husband and wife. But today, there are about 70% of the people, they don't marry, they live together. And this living together, you never heard this years ago. It's only a new thing. It's because there's so much divorce, about 50% of the people who get married, they divorce, including Christians. Before, it was less the Christian, but the Christians also have come to the same level as 50% of the people who get married, that there is divorce. So here, about 70% of the people, they live in. They say, well, we want to have a trial life and see whether we are compatible or not. Now that is immorality. And if you read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, here we see 22 all the way through, we see how God laid the foundation for marriage. We saw in the book of Genesis how God laid the foundation for marriage. It was the Lord who laid the foundation for marriage. God did not take a rib out of Adam and made another man. Okay? If marriage means between husband and wife. It's nothing to do with a man and a man. But you can see we are living in very evil days today. And how our souls are so sorrowful to see what is happening in our nation. As there's so many gay people getting married, homosexuality, lesbianism, and, you know, so much divorce, 50% of the people who get married, they're divorced, and people living in not getting married, they're living in. What is going on? What is happening? Is this called a Christian nation? What is it? What's happening? How come there's about 50% of Christians are getting divorced? Is the church, what's wrong with the church? Are they not teaching these things? What is going on? So here we see God's divine order has been, man has broken God's divine order. Man has sinned against God. When you sin against God, you have to pay the consequences. The result is not good. The family order was instituted by God. And He did not make a woman out of man's head so she can rule over him. God did not make the woman, they did not take a rib out of his feet. So it can be trampled upon. Of course, there are some women who like to rule their husbands, which is a sin also. We sin. We need to go according to the biblical standard. So here, but he took the rib by his side. By his side as a helpmate. To help the husband. Helpmate means to love him. To have a relationship with him. That is what is a helpmate. The first wedding was done in paradise. In the Garden of Eden. That was the first wedding. Wow. But today, marriages begin in paradise and many ends up in the battlefield. People, you know, they think, oh, I'm going to get married. They get so excited. and you know, the wedding and honeymoon and everything is more like a paradise on earth. But how soon it ends up in the battlefield. And, you know, when the minister asks the bride and the bridegroom, do you promise to love, honor, and cherish, and to protect, forsaking all others, and holding to each other? Both of them promise, and they say, I do. But how soon these promises are broken? And promises were made before God. And this is an oath that is being made before God. It's a covenant that you make before God. How soon that covenant is being broken because of sin. And we see 50% of marriages break up. And especially, it is sad to say, it's in Christian community too. And also, the minister will ask, in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer. And I promise, you know, my love to you. They promise their love to each other. Even in sickness or health and richer or poorer, they are going to love each other, they are going to hold each other, and they will live in their marriage until they die. But it's just words. Promises soon are forgotten. The honeymoon is finished and the court battle begins. That's what's happening today. Why? You ask why? Why is it that soon these promises finish, it fades away. Why is it that problems start and then they see, oh, I thought I love you, but now I don't love you. I thought we were compatible. Now we see that we are not compatible. Why? What's going on here? The reason anybody can answer and see. The reason is, I'll tell you, it's very easy. The reason is, they have not built their foundation on the Word of God. They have not built their home on the rock of Jesus Christ. That's the reason. And many people, then what about Christians? Yeah, a lot of people go to church. It doesn't mean that just because you go to church, you follow the Word of God. Many people, they don't follow the Word of God. There's a survey that says 30% of the people who go to church, they never read the Bible. The only time they open the Bible is when they come to church. 70% of the Christians who come to church, is a survey, and they never want to take any responsibility. And 80% of the people, they never attend prayer meetings. And 95% of the people who come to church, who say they are Christians, they never win a soul to the Lord. Just imagine when you die and you never won a soul to the Lord. Wow, you should be grieving, you should be crying before the Lord. You never attempted to witness. You had no desire. No wonder the church people, they don't build their house on the rock of Jesus Christ. They have built their homes on sinking sand. That's why the marriages are falling apart. When you build your house on the sinking sand, when the trials come, marriage, when you get married, there will be trials will be coming. When the rains come, when there are money problems come, when all these things will come, what happens when you build your house in sinking sand? It will collapse. It will collapse. That's what the problem is. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus said, Matthew 7:24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to him a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. It was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. There you go. That's how the marriages break. Because they don't build their house on the rock of Jesus Christ. And it's sad, and it is happening today. So many people like the traditions, the rituals, not obedience. You know, people come to church and they say that they believe in God, but in reality, they don't obey. And if you don't obey the word of God, you really don't believe in God. The man who built the Titanic, you know, the big Titanic, ship that sink. The man who built the Titanic, a reporter asked him, how safe is the Titanic? And he said, with a prideful tone, he said, not even God can sink it. And you know what happened to Titanic. People, they don't see who God is, how powerful He is. They don't realize, they don't trust in God. And we need to follow the order of the family. Remember, some of you saw that movie, Yali Tribe. There was a husband, these were cannibals before, now they became Christians. And one of the husbands had a problem with his wife, remember? And because that wife was, so he had a problem, and somebody gave him to read Ephesians chapter 5, these verses. And then he read, husbands, love your wives. When he said that, and this person, new Christian, living in the jungles, he said, wow, if Jesus loved the church so much and gave his life to the church, how much more I should love my wife? And his whole lifestyle began to change. And there was a beautiful relationship with his husband and his wife after that. Because these people who are living in the jungle, they don't have much comfort. They took the word of God literally into their heart. The problem today in the church is they read the word of God, many, but they don't take the word of God literally into their heart. How soon people forget once a sermon is finished. So we need to follow the order of the family. Ephesians 5:22 says, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit to your own husbands as fitting in the Lord. Now, is submission. Submission is a subordinate. It means your sub means always you see a submarine is under the water. It's sub, okay? So submission means you're under. That means you are under the rule of the husband. Okay, husband is ahead. So wife, submit your husband as to the Lord. Okay? As to the Lord. That means the church. We, as Christians, we submit to Christ. Just like that. So the word submission or a helpmate means that wife is a helpmate. That means you need to honor your husband. Submission has to do with honor. It has to do with reverence. It has to do with obedience. And all of these, honor, reverence, and obedience, is done with the word love. love has to be cemented with these words. It is done in love. Okay? Now, that's why it's so important for us to understand that submission has nothing to do that you're not a slave to your husband or a servant to your husband, but love, it has to be done in love. Just like how the church as to the Lord, just as in the Lord, the church, we are in submission to Christ. Because why? We love Him. We love Him. That's the same way that we need to be in submission. The wives need to be submission to the husbands. If you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says, wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. And they may observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Peter is telling here that during this time, what happened was, the context here, there were people who got saved, later. Actually, in the beginning, when they got married, they were not Christians. Alright? They were unsaved people when they got married. But later, the woman got saved. Now the husband is not saved. So Peter is telling the wives that you can win them not by preaching to them too much, but by your behavior, your conduct, okay? By your lifestyle. Because your lifestyle is being changed now. What Christ have done for you. So the husband will see, wow, I got a virtuous woman now. I got a woman who is godly. This woman is changed. So by their conduct, that they will be saved. That's what Peter is talking. Then he goes on to say, do not, verse 3, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting a fine apparel. And here Peter is saying, well, the worldly women, they want to have, you know, the beauty is the most important thing for them. So they put all kinds of, you know, their hair thing, making all that stuff. They put so much time and emphasis to get dressed, because they got to have their hair on. They got to put their gold, you know, everything, all the jewelry, and all the makeup, and all these things. And Peter is saying, no. That's not how the biblical wife is. Biblical wife is not the outward beauty, but the inward beauty. Not the external beauty, but the inward beauty. That's what it counts. Then he says, verse 4, or rather let it be hidden person of the heart with incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit which is very precious in the sight of God. And here we see a godly woman, a godly wife. A godly wife is not a striving person, not one to fight and argue, not a loud-mouthed person. But it says in the Bible, her beauty is gentle, quiet in spirit, which is so precious to the Lord. That means she's a submissive wife to the husband. You understand? You know, if we follow this biblical principle, we don't have to go to a seminar to attend how to have a successful marriage. You don't have to go to college or university. Even the most educated people who are brilliant men, their marriages fall too. No matter how intelligent you are, their marriages fall. You know why? the only way the marriage can be successful is through the Bible. If you just follow the principles and the guidelines, what is in the Bible, it will never fail. It will give glory to God. And that's why it's so important we need to go these things. And verse 5 says, "For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husband." Wow! We can see these holy women. That means holy women means not worldly women. Holy, separated unto God. They trusted in God. That we need wives that they will trust in God today. You know, that's why it's so important that we need to understand this. The church is consisted of homes. Actually, we all come from different homes here, right? And if the home is godly, and if the home is built on the foundation of God, then the church is strong. You understand? That's why if the home is the most important place. It's the most important place that we need to understand. Because if the home is not built on the foundation of God's word, then the churches are weak. That's why it's so important. A lot of people, they try to come to church so they can depend on the pastor. That's not right. You should never depend on me. You should depend on God and in His Word. Okay? That's so important. Now, if you keep on reading, verse 6 says, "As Sarah obeyed Abraham and calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." Sarah was an example here. The word Lord means she didn't worship as God here, Abraham, but paid reverence to her husband. Reverence, honor, and obedience. That's what it is. So how we need godly women today? It's so important. Well, the problem today is because of so much covetousness in the world, because of so much materialism in the world, what happened is so much worldliness in the world, people fall into debt, then woman goes to work, and a lot of times the woman gets the better job. The woman makes more money, and she says, "Well, who puts food on the table? It's my money. So you should listen to me." So this is what's happening in the world today. It doesn't matter who puts food on the table. You got to still follow the rule. The absolute rule is the word of God. Absolute rule, that means the most important rule is the word of God. And we need to follow the word of God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, you see. Genesis 3:16. God said to the woman, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception." Every time when a woman is giving birth and when there is pain, the first thing she needs to remember is what happened at the Garden of Eden, the sin. "In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." That's God's put order. Why did God put order there? Because Eve wanted to be the first man. Eve is the one who went and talked to the serpent. So God has to put order back again. Okay? And so important that we need to see these things. And so there is submission. Now, we saw some of the godly women, like Sarah, and there are so many godly women like Ruth, Esther, and you can go on and see. There are a lot of godly women in the Bible. But one of the godly women that I want to show is, who lived not in our generation, is that you have heard of this godly man a lot. You heard of Charles Spurgeon a lot. But you don't hear of Mrs. Spurgeon. And I want to show you Mrs. Spurgeon. She was a godly woman. And so I want to show you some of the things of Mrs. Spurgeon. And Charles Spurgeon, he wrote of his wife. You know, Charles Spurgeon was called the Prince of Preachers. Next to the apostles, he was the most brilliant preacher who had ever lived after the apostles. Okay? C.H. Spurgeon, who wrote to his wife in 1871, this is what he said of his wife. "None know how grateful I am to God for you. In all I have done for Him, you have a large share. For in making me so happy, you have fitted me for service. Not an ounce of power has ever been lost to the good cause through you. I have served the Lord far more and never less for your sweet companionship." Wow. You can see Spurgeon, God blessed him tremendously. But a large part had to do with his wife. Being a helper to him. Being a companion to him. And Spurgeon once called his wife, "You are an angel of the Lord. You are like an angel of the Lord to me." Such, that's how the godly woman is supposed to be. And also, there was a time that when Spurgeon comes in the evening, he's so tired after preaching and preaching and preaching. And when they come in the evenings and he's so tired, he would like to just relax by the fireside and just recline on a chair. When he does that, you know what his wife does? She brings the Puritan books, sit at his feet, and keep on reading the Puritan books to him. And she used to read Jonathan Edwards' books and Baxter's books and says that, wow, this is so relaxing to the pastor and it's so comforting to the pastor. And here we see they weep together, they cry together, they enjoy together in God because they have so much love in the Lord. That's how the marriage relationship be. So wife has a great part in the ministry. It's so important that we need to see that. So there is order of submission. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 23. Says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body." So there is submission, just like husband is the head of the wife. Christ is the head of the church. We saw that. And if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, you will see again the order. 1 Corinthians 11:3. "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man. And the head of Christ is God." You can see how God put order. Alright? And of course the last are the children. And Christ is the head because he loved the church and the church should submit to him. And we need to understand here, give a little preview for next week's sermon, so husbands cannot get away. And here, Christ is the head. Christ loves the church. He loves the church. So the husband should love the wife. And Christ nourishes the church, gives us spiritual food. So the husband should nourish the wife with spiritual food. Christ sanctifies the church. In the same way, husband should sanctify the wife. Meaning, if the wife is not doing something wrong, the husband should go gently and correct her and rebuke her so that she would be sanctified. These are important issues. So there's a parallel here. The parallel is just like Christ and the church, same thing with the husband and wives. It's so important. Husband is called the priest of the house. You know, husband should love, nourish her, spiritual truth, sanctify her with the word of God, encourage her and admonish her. Make so husband's duty is that she will grow as a godly woman. So important. Now, why the wife has to give honor and reverence to the husband? The reason is, wives see that this husband is a godly man. You don't give reverence and honor to an ungodly man, right? But you will obey him, but, you know, how if the man is ungodly? What about if, you know, the man is totally ungodly? Then what do you do? If the man is causing you to sin, are you going to obey him, the wife? No, absolutely not. This is where you draw the line. If the man is going to cause you to sin, you are not going to obey that man. Because you see, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 5 says what? Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Your first love is the Lord. So if the man is going to, if the husband is going to cause the wife to sin, then the wife should submit. Wife should obey God more than the husband. But still, as a wife, you know, that's why it's so important. 1 Peter chapter 3 says that she needs to show everything by example. Alright? It's so important. You need to live as an example.